the other day, we got such a victim mentality, but that's not scriptural. We're to be overcomers. Amen. I like it. Amen. All right, I'm glad you're here. It's Wednesday night, which a lot of people are in church Wednesday night that don't come to other nights of their own meeting. They kind of are in a rut if they finally built, you know, and are matured spiritually to where they're making it to Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night. It's amazing that they don't get that they, if they're having a meeting, they ought to come on off nights. But we've had a pretty good showing, and many of you are here tonight, and I'm glad. I like church. I like church. I enjoy being in church. Somebody said one time, you have to like it. It's your job. Now, I tell you how it goes. I liked it so much, God let it be my job. All right? But everybody doesn't like that. Everybody doesn't like coming to church. And sometimes it's a battle. And I remember hearing about a guy, one time he was living in with his mom. And Sunday morning, she's up there, and it's like an hour from church time, and he's still in the bed. And she said, hey, man, get up. And he said, well, I'm not getting up. I'm tired. She said, it's church. We're going to church. He said, I don't feel like going to church. And the mom said, listen, I told you when I let you move back in here that one of the rules is you go to church. I'm for that kind of thing. And he says, Mom, I don't want to go to church. Nobody likes me at that church. And she said, it doesn't matter. You're the pastor. You're supposed to be there. Amen. Sometimes everybody doesn't like the pastor. You tell the truth. You preach the truth. You'll ruffle feathers, but this is Texas, so you probably rustle feathers, right? It is good to be a child of God. Take your Bible tonight and go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I got a letter from an inmate. My wife brought me some mail and got three tracts in the mail where people had gotten saved from different places across the country. And the tract used to go out of our home church, and it had a spot where they'd ask for a Bible study and a visit. And, of course, our church exploded. And there's nobody to respond to those things anymore. When they get filtered down and finally make it to me, we do the best we can. And a guy wrote a letter, and he said, would you please, if it's any way possible, would you please send me a new King James study Bible so I can draw closer to God? And I'm thinking, no, that ain't happening. We'll do our best to order him a Bible through Amazon because they can send right to penitentiaries. I can't. We'll get him a little Bible study, but I thought that was interesting that he requested a specific version. People usually don't. We sent a large print to a 54-year-old woman a couple weeks ago in a penitentiary somewhere, but this guy asked for a new King James, and I ain't sending him one. I'm glad I have the Word of God, the infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of God. That's a big deal to me. There's a lot of things that aren't, and there's a lot of gray area in some ways, but that's where the rubber meets the road. You have to have a foundation if what you build is gonna make it through the storm. You can build something on sand that looks just fine, but you know the passage in Matthew 7, it said, great was the fall of it. I've seen enough of that to last me the rest of my life. I don't want to be part of it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, is that what I said? That's what I meant, you know. And Brother Bill said, you know, we're not eloquent around. I didn't even notice that you weren't. So, yeah, I'm the wrong guy or the right guy. Depends how you look at it. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 9, Paul writes this to Timothy, obviously. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. He's asking for help. Amen. He's putting out a plea and he's asking Timothy to come. He needs help, and here's why, verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Luke's still with him, but he's had a traveling companion for at least a couple of years that took off, left him high and dry. And and he's asking for help. What I notice is that, and he names him by name, Demas has forsaken me. This guy shows up first mentioned in Colossians chapter 4, and verse 14 says this, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. And amen. He's running with the right crowd. Look, I think that's about 64 A.D., and he's running with the right crowd. He's running with Luke and Paul. And he gets mentioned in epistle and in Philemon, verse 23, the Bible says this, there salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Verse 24 says Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. For a couple of years, at least 2 years, Demas is running with the cream of the crop when it comes to soul winners in the early, in the infancy of Christianity. Amen. But he's not anymore. He's gone missing. Title tonight is Missing in Action. Here's a guy that traveled with Paul, seen God do great and mighty things, and now he's gone. Paul says, Demas hath forsaken me. And one commentator, and I don't spend a lot of time trying to find their opinions because they make good illustrations of idiocy. One commentator suggested that maybe because of Paul's personality, he was hard charging, he was focused, he was intimidating. I've known preachers like that through the years. I mean, they are so focused, and people stay away from them. I like to get near them with my mouth shut and my ears opened. Those are the ones you learn from. And somebody suggested that maybe Demas just had such a personality clash with Paul that he abandoned Paul. Yeah. According to Acts chapter 15 and verse 39, the Bible says this, and the contention was so sharp between them, the context there is Barnabas and Saul, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. And two great Christians parted company here. Something got in there. Of course, the Bible says only by pride cometh contention, and that's the word the Holy Spirit used in the verse. And it's sad, but it does happen. But never do you hear Paul saying, Barnabas hath forsaken me. But he does say that about Demas. Demas hath forsaken me, and he's real clear about why. He says, having loved this present world. Remember, Paul, who trained Demas, wrote in Romans 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And beloved, I submit to you tonight that you got two choices. You either get conformed to the word, or basically you have no choice but to get conformed to the world. Amen. That makes the Bible that much more important. Demas knew that. It says in 1 John chapter 2, John wrote in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It doesn't say you can't enjoy any of the things in the world. Amen. It says in 1 Timothy 6, charge them that are rich in the world that they be not high-minded, nor trusting in certain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us all things richly to enjoy. Amen. Listen, I enjoy being a Christian. I enjoy being a child of God. I enjoy fellowship around other Christians. I'm talking to Brother Pearson today. He does all kinds of strange things like sailboating and golfing. Me, much more normal. I ride motorcycles. Amen. That's not my God anymore. I leave one in a garage in Ohio for months and months and months at a time, but there are occasions where I've had a chance to take it out, be out in California, ride up that beautiful Highway 1. I enjoy that. I'm riding with other Christians, no guilt, no reproach at all about just being out there and having the time of my life doing something totally carnal. Because I'm right with God, or try to be, amen, keeping things in perspective, making sure he's on the throne, and you can have a good time as a Christian. But I tell you, the context of there in 1 John chapter 2 is that if you fall in love with the world, you're never going to love, you're never going to have the right kind of love for the things that we're commanded to love. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And in John chapter 13 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Now that's a tall order, those three things right there. Love God, love the lost, love the Christian. And boy, you fall in love with this world, and you're not going to have the right relationship with those things. And that's, of course, the devil's goal, is to get us distracted. Amen. And he's good at what he does. And he's definitely got a hold of old Demas here. Amen. And so Demas must have the right love for the right thing for a while. But something happened. Something happened that caused him to forsake Paul. And it's not a secret. The Bible says it clearly. Having loved this present world. Now it says there in, the verse goes on, and it said it departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans, another preacher boy, to Galatia. Titus unto Dalmatia. Three preacher boys that went to three different cities, only Demas isn't going to serve God. Demas is not right with God. Demas has forsaken Paul. And, it's interesting to me that he went to Thessalonica. Now, Thessalonica was a seaport, and it was famous at that time among merchants and sailors for its nightlife. Amen. Just like coastal towns often are. Amen. Now, when I say nightlife, we're talking about some things listed in Galatians chapter 5, where it says in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lascivious. I don't know what it was that when Demas decided to abandon the ministry that he found a town to go to, and I don't know what it was that got his attention, but I know what's got a lot of people's attention through the years. That word lasciviousness means moral looseness, and it's always been bad. It's mentioned in the Bible, and it's worse than ever. And if that's what got Demas, well, he wasn't the first. And I'm sad to report, he wasn't the last. What's interesting to me about Thessalonica is that we know that it was a city with a great church. Amen. A great church that had been established. It's spoken of highly by the Apostle Paul in two of his epistles. He says in chapter 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Amen. Those are good things to have Paul say about you. Amen. And here it is. Here Demas was there with Paul. Here Demas was part of that work. Here Demas maybe went on the street. Here maybe Demas was seen with Paul doing what Paul did, whether it was ministering in the marketplace or in the synagogues. And his face was known at least by some. He had an impact on some, this young church, because he is, again, a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. And when he backslid, he went right back to that little town that had a church. I'm wondering, why can't Christians, when they backslide, go someplace where nobody knows them, instead of going to a place where their testimony for Jesus Christ can be mocked? What do you think people might have thought of Demas if they saw him on a street corner 1 year, and the next he's going in and out of these bars and places he shouldn't go? That's a reproach to Jesus Christ. If he's going to backslide, why didn't he just go off somewhere where he wouldn't be a reproach to the God, where he wouldn't discourage the hearts of other Christians in this young church? Amen? What happened to Demas? Well, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us any more about him. That's all it says, having loved this present world. But I'll tell you what, the Bible says a lot about what leads to that kind of thing. So I want to preach to you a few minutes tonight on this thought, missing in action. And they might say, hey, listen, this isn't a historical study on Demas. This is a warning for you, so that you don't end up missing in action. And if you're sitting there thinking it can't happen to you, I wonder if Demas ever thought that. Father, I do love you, and I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I pray, God, you'd allow me to say something that'll make sense, that your spirit can bear witness to, Lord. You know I love you. I thank you for bringing my wife in, but God, we welcome you tonight into our presence. Bear witness, Lord, to your word, and we'll thank you for it. And like it's already been stated, if somebody in here doesn't know on the authority of the word of God, that their sins are forgiven and they have heaven as their home when this life ends, not if, but when. God, I pray you'd make it easy for them to understand that is the most important issue there is. And it's really the easiest one to rectify. Thank you for the blood that cleanses us from all sin. And I pray, God, you'd just be happy with this tonight, both sides of the pulpit. May all that goes on be pleasing to you. And I pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, so let me give you a couple things here. Again, like I say, turn to Bible, God, Galatians chapter 5. The kind of things that lead to people leaving the work, leaving the church, leaving the ministry, leaving a walk with God, going to that stinking world. Some of us, if we backslid tonight, we'd go back to the world. Some of you got saved young. You ain't never been out there. You better heed the warnings when people get up here and tell you that it's nothing but heartbreak. No, you ever heard the saying, the devil paints a pretty picture, but he never signs his name to it? There are pleasures in sin for a season. And seasons, 3 months flies by, man. Seasons change. All right, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul says this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, amen, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. He's talking to believers. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Amen? Listen, the flesh is not only not saved, it's contrary to the Spirit of God. It's contrary to any desire. It's at war, basically, with the Spirit. Paul mentions that in, Romans chapter 7. He says, verse 18, for I know, he was honest with himself, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. This is the most dedicated Christian on the planet when he wrote that. He says, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, want to do right all the time, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Amen. I'm telling you something, every one of us, you can be saved here, you can be saved 5 years, you can be saved 50 years, but you got a flesh inside of you that rather please itself, amen, and I tell you what, if you don't keep that in mind, you can end up missing an action. Amen. And not only that, the God of this world has raised the stakes in these last days, and the temptation to compromise and succumb to carnality is greater than ever. Amen. What do you do about it? I don't know what Demas did or didn't do, but I know this. There's something we can do about it. Keep it from happening. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 119. Talk about missing an action tonight. Talking about Demas. And for Demas hath for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. It says this, Psalm 119 and verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Ian Paisley, that Presbyterian Irishman, said one time, it's not how much Bible you read, it's how much Bible you heed. And James tells us in chapter 1, if you're a hearer only, you can be faithful. You can listen to it on YouTube. And if you're not applying it, amen, the Bible says you deceive yourself. Like a man looking at his natural face in a glass and going his way, forgetting what manner of man he was. You know what will happen to you? You forget what manner of man you were. You'll forget what manner of man it took to redeem you. In other words, you'll increase and Jesus Christ will decrease. That's what happens. It said there in verse 10, Psalm 119 verse 10, with my whole heart. There you go. I tell you what, I guarantee you Demas wasn't doing that. It says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. It was possible. It's still possible. You can be saved. You can believe a book. You can love Jesus. I'm not even questioning that. But I'm going to tell you what, you can wander. You stop walking in the Spirit and the flesh will lead you to wander from the commandments. So it says in verse 11, and familiar verse, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Amen. We got a flesh that's not saved. We got a flesh that lusteth against the Spirit. We got a flesh that we spend a lot more time, hour-wise, in a week, whether it's sleeping, feeding, working, whatever, having a good time, than we do in things like prayer and devotion and church a couple hours a week. And I'll tell you something, if God can balance out the amount of time that we're doing carnal things with a little bit of a dedication to the following the Spirit, then every minute, every hour is important. You miss a couple services a week, you miss your prayer life, you miss, and the flesh says, all right, let's go. And you're a step closer to walking in the flesh than you ever wanted to be. Colossians chapter 3 says, set your affection on things above. If you don't make a point to, it ain't going to happen automatically. It ain't going to happen by itself. This flesh is only concerned with setting its affection on things down here. I don't know what happened to Demas, amen, but I guarantee you that he wasn't hiding the Word of God in his heart. At least not by the time he got to where we read about him here, forsaken Paul, amen. Say, what happened to Demas? Well, I don't know specifically, but I know what's happened to a lot of people that I've been preaching to for almost 2.5 decades. There's a lot of people that I don't doubt are saved, but their relationship with the Word of God slipped. Right. And now they're missing an action too. Right. I just want to tell you tonight, you better not let yours slip. Longer you've been at it, longer you've been studying, longer you've been reading, longer you've been saved, it's all the more reason to stay in that book. The power to combat the flesh, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that's pretty powerful. That's a big deal. What happened to Demas? I don't know, but maybe he let his relationship with the Word of God slip. And I just want to encourage you not to let that happen. Amen. I mean, I go places, we're King James all the way. I know that. But they still seem to be dealing with all the same problems as everybody else. You know, like I said, it doesn't matter what you believe, what you know. It matters what you get right here, what you hide in your heart, what you implement into your life. All right? And then, number two, take your Bible, go to Proverbs. And then go back to Psalms, because I had it right the first time. How about that? Psalm 37. Amen. Psalm 37 and verse 23. Talking about demons going missing. It says this in Psalm 37 verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I got a message called A Few Good Men based on that Marine Corps recruitment. Slogan. Amen. They're looking for a few good men. You know, the Bible gives us the parameters of being a good man. Right there it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I remember this before I even got saved, a license plate. Alabama doesn't have front license plates. And so I remember seeing a license plate that said, God is my co-pilot. And I was lost, and I probably thought, well, that's stupid. And I'd have been right. I had seen it on Christian cars in parking lots. God is my co-pilot. Let me tell you something. No, he's not. He's not going to be your co-pilot. Amen. For him to order your steps, you're going to have to let him be the pilot. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then it says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know why it says that? Because that's what we do. That's how we're wired. That's what the natural man does. But I'm telling you what, I've been around people that have been saved for a long time, and they get some Bible, and they get some experience, and they've seen God work, and then without prayer, without even thought, they've got an answer on the tip of their tongue. They've never consulted God. They're not acknowledging him in all their ways. They're leaning under their own understanding. That's why the warning is there to not do that. You might know some things. You might have some experience. But at the end of the day, we're supposed to, the next verse says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Amen? In all thy ways. Maybe demons got to the place where he wasn't asking God for direction anymore. I've seen it happen. Maybe he got so secure in his knowledge and his experience. I mean, a couple of years with Paul, you'd probably grow up fast spiritually. Maybe he got so secure in his spirituality, he started directing his own path, started leaning onto his own understanding. We're all capable of doing that. One thing I know for sure, it says, for demons have forsaken me, having loved this present world. I guarantee you tonight, the Lord did not direct his path to leave Paul and start loving this present world. Amen? Let me tell you something. If you're not acknowledging him in all your ways, you're directing your own path. Let me tell you something. That's a scary thing to me. Bible says the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. I remember when I was filled with my own ways, man. I had it all figured out. I didn't have to ask nobody nothing. God had to put me in a metal box for a couple months for me to finally come to the reality where I thought, I was just like everybody else. I didn't want to admit I was wrong. Amen. It's obvious to everybody but me, but I finally did come to a place where I admitted that it just possible, I'm not as smart as I think I am. I mean, I embarked in a lifestyle based on freedom, you know, and I had everything but freedom. I started to rethink some of the decisions I made. Then a preacher came in and said, oh, by the way, you're going to hell too. I went, oh, great, this is getting better by the minute. Amen. But it helped out. I don't want to go back to directing my own path. Amen. I was in jail. I was a dope head. I was a drunkard. I was a professional criminal. I had buried 41 of my own people. We're talking about at the restaurant today. I can go out to the Outlaws Motorcycle Club website and look at 50 more people that I used to ride with that are dead. As far as I know, they're in hell. I should have been too. Amen. Of course, maybe you have a hard time relating to that. And I hope you do. And maybe you were never drunk or a dope head. I hope you weren't. Amen. Maybe you're decent and moral. Not like them biker lowlifes. Maybe you weren't like that at all. But I'm going to tell you something. Without Jesus Christ, you was headed to the same hell that they were. And it took the same grace and the same cross to save you, goody two-shoes, that it took to save anybody else. And I'm going to tell you what, the best of the best of the best without Jesus Christ are directing their path right into a devil's hell. Amen. Amen. And tell some of them, I got Christians in their life that have chosen to take the best God had to offer and don't see any responsibility to live in such a way to point others to Jesus Christ. There's some that are going to be at the great white throne judgment and hear their name come up when the Lord says, why did you reject? And I believe some people are going to say, well, I worked with Dave Spurgeon and he never told me about this. I don't want my name coming up like that. You know, when the Lord turned and looked at Peter in the judgment hall over there in Matthew 26, was it? When the Lord turned and made, when he, third time he denied him, and it said the Lord, can you imagine that at the great white throne? Here we are in the host of heaven. Amen. Those that are forgiven, we're not going to be judged. Can you imagine your name coming up about, uttered by the lips of a man that is getting ready to amen his own damnation? And the Lord getting ready to say, depart from me, you cursed, and looking up in there and looking at you. What? We got a responsibility, folks. We start directing our own path. We start living for the, well, I'm saved, you know. I've got liberty. You don't have liberty to live any way you want. That's what lost people do. You've got the liberty to live for Jesus Christ. Yeah, and if you do it right, he'll let you enjoy it. Amen. What happened to Demas? I don't know. Maybe he got out of his Bible. Maybe he got secure in his spirituality to where, you know, he knew what to do. Maybe he got to the place where a lot of Christians have got to. I don't need to ask anybody anything. A lot of people are pretending they're a lot more spiritual than they are. This isn't a game. This is the realest thing on the planet. Amen. Amen. What happened to Demas? Well, the Bible says that he loved this present world. I guarantee you, Demas somewhere along the way quit letting the Lord order his steps. You might be saved in here tonight. You quit letting the Lord order your steps. You could be missing an action too. Happens all the time. Amen? All right, number three. Say, how many are there? I'm not telling you. But I don't have a poem tonight. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. This is the last one. Proverbs 27. Verse 17. Bible says this, iron sharpeneth iron. And so a man sharpeneth countenance of his friend. Plastic, on the other hand, doesn't sharpen nothing. There's a lot of phony, plastic, fake people in this world claiming to be Christians. And there's some people that are sure enough saved, but they don't even resemble iron. Because they're not sharpening anybody's countenance. They're back in the background making their little critical comments, undermining the work of God. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 6, that's an abomination to God. But it happens. Happens all the time. Amen. Yes, what happened to Demas? I'm not sure, but I know this. The Bible says in Proverbs 13 and verse 20, it said, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Isn't that deep? I mean, how do you improve on that? I mean, has anybody got an NIV in here tonight? Help me out. How do you improve on that? But the verse goes on to say, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know what that verse says? That verse tells you that peer pressure is very, very real. That verse tells you that you will be affected by the people you choose to hang around. We preach peer pressure to teenagers. You know why? So they won't be slaves to it all their life like some of us are. But peer pressure isn't a teenager problem. Peer pressure isn't a kid problem. Peer pressure is a human being problem. Iron sharpeneth iron. And so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend, it says. We're all affected by the people we hang around. The Bible says, and Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, here's another one of them places where he says, be not deceived. In other words, it doesn't matter what you think about what I'm getting ready to say. I'm telling you, you could be wrong. It says evil communications corrupt good manners. I'm going to tell you, now I know a lot of people use social media for good perhaps, but I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of corrupting going on with the communications. Like I said, people don't even communicate face to face anymore. People that had good manners. That's what it says. Corrupt good manners. Must have had it somewhere along the way. Better choose your peers carefully. Amen. Even better, prayerfully. So you don't wind up missing in action. The Bible says, demons have forsaken me, having loved this present world. I guarantee you this tonight. Demas never dreamed he'd be remembered like this.
That's right.
Amen. You know, why? I mean, it's like, God, this book abided forever. It's there, man. There's no reference that he ever got right. That's how Demas, that last mention. Amen. Why is it in there? As a warning.
Right.
As a warning to you and I. Brother Bill said it earlier. If it can happen to him, it can happen to you. It can happen to me. You get out of that book. You quit praying. You quit acknowledging God. You quit asking him to direct your path. Hey, I tell you what you'll do. You'll quit enjoying the fellowship and company of people that are reading their Bible and that are praying to God. And you'll quit hanging around them. And I'm going to tell you what. This world will give you plenty of friends. Isn't that what they call them? Plenty of friends, and they'll be the wrong kind of friends, and they'll be heading you the wrong direction. Until you, abandon, what are you going to abandon? What are you going to forsake, having loved this present world? All these things are important. God gave us the Word of God. God gave us access to the throne of grace. Praise the Lord for the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. God gave us each other. This is important. And I don't say that. I mean, I'm no Bible scholar. I've been preaching long enough that I preach to empty pews that used to be filled with people that dropped the ball in one or two and some all. Maybe if you start with the Bible, you end up dropping a ball in all these areas. I didn't get saved till I was almost 38. I don't wanna fail. I don't wanna bring reproach on my Savior. I wanna stick.
Amen.
I really do, and I know me. I mean, I really know me. And I don't like me, and I don't trust me. I need this. I need you. You probably do more for me than I do for you. But I know this. This is scriptural. We're to encourage one another. Amen. I don't want to be missing an action. I don't want to be saying, yeah, he did good for a while, but where's he now? Who knows? Who knows? Amen. Last mention. He messed up big time. Doesn't say he ever got right. Back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And it's significant to me. There's another guy mentioned here in verse 11. Now he says, only Luke is with me, and Luke's been with him a long time. It says this, take Mark. He's writing to Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And he said, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Remember over there, we read the verse with the contention between Barnabas and Paul that caused them to depart one from the other. They never got back together, but it was all over Mark. And Mark made a bad decision, and he left the work and the ministry. But somewhere along the way, he must have got right with God. He's mentioned as a fellow laborer in Philemon. Amen. Now, toward the end of Paul's life, he's profitable. I'd say he's profitable. The Lord let him write the book of Mark. That's a pretty big deal. I bet he's glad Uncle Barnabas never gave up on him. You know, when people fall on their face, and the Bible says a just man falleth seven times but rises up again, I'll tell you what, when a just man goes down, when a saved person makes a mistake and makes a fool of themselves, I'm going to tell you what the rest of us ought to be doing. We ought to be praying for them and encouraging them and not kicking them when they're down. Barnabas evidently stayed right with God, because by the end of Mark's life, We've got Mark, profitable unto Paul. I've been saying it, I'm going to say it again. Better the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. He had a rocky start, but he's going to finish right. Some of us had a rocky start, but we can finish right. I hope we finish right. We ought to want to finish right. Some of you had a good start, but you got the same challenge to finish right. Your flesh ain't saved either. Amen? We need that book. We need prayer. And we need each other so we don't end up missing in action. Amen? So if you're in here tonight, and I'm glad you're here, but if you're on the wrong track in any of those three areas, time to switch tracks. Amen. That's what opportunity like this, a couple of days, a week of condensed, just Bible, cares of the world on the back burner, gives us a chance to really re-examine ourselves. And if there's an area that needs spiritual attention, give it spiritual attention. And if you don't, what's it going to take? And God's got plenty of tools in the toolbox. Trouble, tragedy. Why not just let it be truth from the Word of God that gets in there and finds a place in our heart and just do business with God? If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, I don't know everybody, but I want to say this to you. The Bible says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's places, there's churches that they wouldn't let me behind the pulpit now. They wouldn't give me the time of day 29 years ago. I've described how I was. Amen. But I'm telling you what, God, knowing every detail about every one of us, committed our love. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he committed his love toward us in that Jesus Christ went to the cross to make a way for our sins to be forgiven. That's the biggest deal there is. And if you're in here, we're glad you're here tonight. If you're not saved, you can be. And you need to be. And if there's anything we can do to help, that's what we're here for. Somebody took some time with Dave Spurgeon a while back, and I'm glad they did. Amen. I wasn't on a spiritual quest. I just needed somebody to tell me the truth. I'm not going to be conned. I don't want to be lied to. I just want to hear it straight, waist high, over the plate, so I can take a swing at it. If you're not saved, you can get saved tonight. Let's stand if you're able. Head bowed, eyes closed. If the Lord dealt with you about anything, I pray you'd deal with him back. Return the favor. Amen.